Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Okay, well, welcome back to Project Independence and You at WCWP.org. And as usual, time flies, millions of questions, so we're just going to get right to it. Couple of things we want to talk about is, Donna, you're an author and you wrote a book and now you are enjoying some book signings. And I know that you have one coming up in the town of North Hempstead.
In Mineola. The Cornerstone Irish American Bar.
The Cornerstone Irish American Bar on the corner in Mineola is hosting a book signing for no past tense.
This Thursday, March 5th. 7 o'clock.
Where is that?
It's on the corner of Jericho Turnpike and Marcellus Road.
Okay, right.
And please come by and say hello.
Near Chaminade?
Across the street, kind of diagonal.
Yeah.
So,
well, let us know if you go, Otto. Maybe Christina.
Yeah, let's go.
I know Jimmy would go. So,
what is the day again?
March 5th.
Thursday,
7 o'clock in the evening. It's rather remarkable having a signing at the Cornerstone. I've been mostly in temples. Tomorrow I'll be at a church in Rockland County, Palisades Presbyterian Church, where that'll be a signing and a book discussion. Kind of a people who have read the book also will come in. But this is my first signing in a bar, and as a bar owner's daughter, you know, it's kind of nice. A Mineola bar owner's daughter.
Oh, really?
But
not
this.
My father had with his brother years ago Puffy's Tavern. And my father's family started, it's called the Jericho Terrace now.
Oh, yeah.
Is this
yeah,
huge?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Club Jericho, this little thing.
Right.
When they had it.
Yeah.
And then my father had Chet's Place on Mineola Boulevard.
Oh.
And it was a lot of cops and lawyers, as I recall. Yeah. Type of place. You know, like.
So it's a natural thing.
That's when Mineola had a bar, it seemed, on every block. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I grew up in Woodhaven in Queens, and there was two bars on every block.
Right. Exactly. But it, to me, for this Irish American bar to totally welcome and want a book signing for a book about two Czech Jewish Holocaust survivors, especially in these days of rising anti-Semitism.
Yes.
It's remarkable, and I really want to give a shout out to the Cornerstone.
Yeah, that's
who they hope, and the owner hopes that more book signings.
Okay.
Which would be great because it's so hard to find places to do book signings for authors. So authors out there, Cornerstone in Mineola. Yeah.
That's great. So we'll definitely, you know, go to the Cornerstone Thursday. If you go, maybe we'll all go. Let us know.
Get a hamburger there,
Get a ham on Otto. Otto hamburgers for Project Independence members. I want to talk about the book, too, because their early life. Coming to it. So how did they, what happened? She calls, she doesn't call him. She walks 10 miles or how did they see each other?
She found out he was still alive.
Right.
And a friend of hers said that Willie Salter's still alive. And when she heard that, she just knew. She's taken the first train, and there was a train that went to his town of Jelšovo. She was in a place called Plesovic. So she took the train. She was very lucky. A maid who had worked for her family saved a dress of her mother's, so she had a dress to wear, which was remarkable. And so she got all dressed up in her mother's dress, and she went there. And he lived in his family. It was the Weiss Mansion in the town, and it was up a mile up a steep drive. It was the biggest, largest house in town, overlooking the town. So she walked up on a hot summer day, and then she said, she started to wilt, like, will he remember me? You know, she started losing her confidence and everything. And when she got there, he was about to go out to eat, and he said, let's go. He took her to the restaurant, and that's where she learned from the waitress that he had another girlfriend.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. Which, to me, when they revealed that, made it so real.
Yeah.
You know, because that's life, really. Right, right. That's life, really. And but it was his seeing how she stood up to an entire village. Remember, she's living in the shed, and she right. won't leave until they give back her father's pharmacy and the house. That seeing her do this, he fell in love with her.
Right. Oh, yeah. Getting tingles.
Yeah. And that's how he fell in love with her. Because he was, you know, he was like the yeah. kind of guy. He said, you know, I was kind of shallow.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I was young guy.
He was a, yeah, young. He was still young.
I was young guy, and you know, there were lots of pretty girls and everything.
Soccer player, you know, star.
Captain of the team.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
You know, that kind of kid. Yeah.
You said something. That until they were going to give her back the pharmacy and the house,
mm-hmm.
that just made me think about during that kind of war and whatnot. People had things before, and now here's somebody who they had a pharmacy and a house. Who actually took this pharmacy and house that she didn't have it?
Oh, when
how'd that work?
Well, the pharmacy in 1944, when in they were in the part of Czechoslovakia that became part of Hungary after the Munich Conference. They kind of cut up Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm.
So when Hungary took over in 1944, I don't have the exact month, but they went in and Jews were no longer allowed to own businesses.
Mm.
So they took her father out of the pharmacy and installed a Christian pharmacist. And but actually that was in like it was in 1944. They might have done that in 43.
Who's
so
they?
The Hungarian government.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not sure of that date, so I'll have to check that.
Yeah.
And because they, by the time they were put in the ghetto in 1944, they had been watching Christians run the pharmacy. They lost the business. See, Jews lost their livelihoods. But it was different times in different countries.
But this was the Hungarian government
right.
who decided
but they
that
were they... allies of Germany.
Oh, okay. Right.
Okay, during the war.
Right,
yeah.
right, right.
Yeah.
So they had the same mental...
But not all, you know, so not all. Because
well, I mean, as a government, they supported...
But there were some who say that they held back on... Because the Hungarian Jews were the last to go.
Right.
Yeah, so... It was, and also the Budapest Jews were fairly assimilated and powerful in the country, so it's not a real clear black and white kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But they basically just took this pharmacy and this house, and
gave she got it,
to
it back.
She got it back.
She got back the pharmacy and the house.
And the house, and she got it back. The mayor said, "Well, little girl, I can't give you this because we need the pharmacy. You know, the village needs the pharmacy." And it was the only pharmacy for like 8 or 10 villages around. And the house is the natural place for the pharmacist and his family to live. So, you know, we need this. And I'm the mayor. We
yeah.
can't upset this. If you find a pharmacist, you can have it back. Her father's younger brother was also a pharmacist. And had lived with her when she was young, when he first finished college, and worked in the family pharmacy. And so she decided, I'm going to find my Uncle Pavel. And word got out to him. She started looking for him. She went to his parents' hometown, and he eventually heard that she was looking for him. And he showed up, and the mayor kept his word.
But he was not killed, her uncle.
He was not killed. He fled to the mountains and worked as a medic in the resistance.
Oh.
What an incredible story. What an incredible experience.
This is all in your book, too, right?
It's yeah. all in the book, yeah.
I think HBO should give you a call. Or Netflix, whoever you prefer.
Well, that's a topic we talked about
right.
offline.
Right, right.
This would make, I think, a great movie.
Or
that's
series.
What people say.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
You know, that would be
someday we'll
absolutely
see your name up there, you know,
terrific if it happened.
Screenplay by Donna Stone.
And yeah. not just the story of the two of them, but also your story and what you come to understand and how people, like the cornerstone, places that are, you know, opening up and continuing this. Because part of the fear is that no one's going to teach people anymore about the Holocaust. Everybody is, you know, pretty much gone, and there are people that don't even believe it happened, and people that, you know, naysayers, and kids growing up today don't know about it. It's not necessarily because they don't believe, it's because it's not taught freely in the schools. So, you know, this I think is so important to have something like this. You know, I mean, a series would be incredible because it would just keep it going, and, you know, your story, it's just really a great overall story about you writing the book and doing the research, and, you know, I'm
sure it's changed.
Well, thank you.
Has to have changed your life dramatically, I would think.
Yes, it has. And one of the things is that, you know, this sat on my shelf for 15 years.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, year did you start writing this book?
In 1999.
When you first did the interviews.
When I first did the interviews. And then it took like a year or two, and I would, you know, it's pretty densely written. So, then I would take on other freelance projects too, because I kind of like wanted
to
make it
perfect.
In
the middle of all this.
Yeah.
Right, because it was kind of like I did get paid for this, but I wanted to make it perfect. It became my art to do this.
And that's an actual picture of them on the cover.
Yes.
They are a beautiful couple.
Look at them.
Look at them.
Aren't they gorgeous?
How old were they in this?
You can't see that,
they're
but we
mid-20s.
Black and white photo.
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I still print stuff once
so
in a while.
So where can people find your book?
It's with all the Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's with all the major booksellers.
Okay.
No past tense. And there's a website.
Nopasttense.com. .com.
There you go.
Also, author is on the DZ Stone.
DZ Stone.
Right.
Yes.
DZ Stone.
Well, DZ is, the Z is for my maiden name, which when I was younger, Zgutowicz, Skutowicz. Nobody, I would spend half the time on phone calls spelling my name.
Yeah, I prefer your Stone, saying Stone, and especially as the guest host of the radio show. So thank you for that shortening of it.
Right.
We appreciate it.
So
that.
I did that years ago. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have less than a minute, and Donna, time just goes too fast. I think we probably got through just the first, maybe not even the first chapter, I don't know, of the book, but learning all about it, and everyone should kind of get it. No past tense at Amazon.com. You can also call 311 if you have any other questions, and Donna will be at a book signing here in the town of North Hempstead in Mineola at the Cornerstone on Thursday, March 5th.
288 Jericho Turnpike.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. And we will be back shortly for Talk of the Town with Christina Lou.